Greetings in Jesus' name. It's a blessing to be here with you all this morning. And maybe those that can, let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, we bow here before you this morning. We're thankful for the privilege of being together in this way. We just want to invite your presence here, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would have your way, you would be honored and glorified here this morning. Father, we just pray that you would take my few words that I have here and you would give me the ability to speak clearly and from your word in a truthful way. Lord, that I wouldn't say anything that would be against your will. Lord, but only that which would build up and edify and would be from your word and truth, Lord. Bless each one of these dear brothers and sisters. We pray that you would speak to each heart in each specific way that it's needed. Lord, you're able to take words that we don't even say but accomplish your purposes. We just pray that you would meet the need, be with those who are not able to be here, be with us, much sickness that's going around, that there would be healing. And Father, we just pray that you would drive away any hindering spirits, anything that would be against you, that every thought would be brought into obedience to Christ, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's good to be back here with you all again. Welcome to the visitors. It's good to see a lot of familiar faces, and welcome back to you, David and Alice. I'm not sure how long you've been back now, but it's good to see you all as well. Back during the summer when we were having the teaching on the home, there was some thought made in one of our ministers' meetings that it'd be good to have a message on marriage. There wasn't really opportunity there for that month, really, and I was asked to sometime take that, so I'll attempt to do that this morning. It may not be the best end of the year message. I thought about that afterwards, that, you know, I could have had something that pertains to the 1 year ending and the new one beginning here tomorrow, but we'll go ahead here with what I have prepared for. So I'll go ahead and put the title here on the board. Then I have 4 points that we'll go through throughout the body of the message here. So I titled it Heirs Together. And we'll just put 4 numbers there. So I don't know how many of you have felt your marriage being attacked. Let me see your hands. It seems like it's a very real thing. And I believe it's because the devil knows that if he can split up a marriage, and maybe not even cause us to divorce, but even at a heart level be apart, I think he realizes it gives him a real inroad into the home. And I believe we should expect attacks on our marriage. I believe we should expect it, arm ourselves ahead of time. It seems like to us anyway, maybe at key times when maybe you're doing something that maybe you're ministering to someone and the devil feels threatened and he attacks you and maybe attacks your marriage. And, you know, things that normally wouldn't bother you just come between there, and it can be a real difficult. I think we should expect it and learn to recognize it and to just hang in there and keep doing the right thing. Keep choosing to love, keep choosing to honor, and just hang in there and endure the temptation. As I was pondering marriage, marriage is such a key thing. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think next to the church, marriage is probably one of the most important, I don't know if you call it institution, but an important thing on earth. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth, is it not? So I would put the church above the marriage. But next to that, I think there's marriage affects so many things. Marriage affects the home, and the home makes the people, and the people make the nation. And so the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. I think right next to the church, at least in my mind, marriage is probably one of the most important things in the Christian life. There's so much that it affects. And it affects children very, very directly. It's an example on earth of Christ and the church. So I recognize that not all of us here are married. And maybe you think, you know, this doesn't pertain to me, and I, you know, and maybe it doesn't. But I believe a lot of us who are not married, Lord willing, someday will be married, many of us. So I think you can, hopefully, you can benefit from this. And some of you, my heart goes out to you because you find yourself in very unique situations. Maybe you're not together, and God bless you in that. And don't take anything that I say here as condemnation. Some of you are widows, and maybe some widowers here, and life is unique, and we're not all the same at the same place. And so just take what all I say with a grain of salt, and I hope nothing that I say will be offensive or hurtful in any way. God bless you and meet you where you are. So my first point here is be together. There's many different ways I could have taken this. Be together. If you're not together at heart in your marriage as a couple, God's blessing will not be there. Your children will be open to much more attack and inroads from the devil. Your prayers will be hindered. Your children will know you're not together, and they'll be affected by it. Be together. I believe Richard Kropp had a message here one time on this, and he talked about the bedrock, and you know, that this togetherness is that in your home. We know, if you can turn to Genesis 2, we might look at one verse there. But here's when the Lord first instituted marriage. We often turn here at weddings and various times here. But Genesis 2, verse 24. So we have a story here of how God took a rib from man, and he made a woman. And Adam saw her as God brought him to him. And he says, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." In verse 24, Genesis 2:24 says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be" what? One flesh. Heirs together. And, you know, I don't understand it. There's two people, right? But God says they're one. And they should be one as they go through life. What they should do together. They should be united. They should work through the decisions they make and be together. They should be together in their finances. They should be together in business, you know, pursuits and all these things. They should be together in raising their children. And there should be a togetherness. Two people working together as one unit. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." A leaving of her parents and his parents and establishing a new home together. And Jesus referred to this in Matthew 19, verse 4 through 6. Jesus answered, "Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Till death do us part." One flesh, no more two, but one. How beautiful it is when things are flowing in the marriage. You're working together, and it's working, you know? You're working together, and it's working. You're praying for each other, supporting each other, fighting your battles together. It's such a blessing for me to, you know, if I'm facing some struggles, to share it with my wife, and she prays for me, and we go at this thing together. You know, it's such a blessing. It's what God intended for it to be. I'm not saying our marriage is perfect, but we've experienced some of those blessings there. Raising your children together, heirs together of the grace of life. Together in how you spend your money. Not that there's things to work through, but you work through them, right? It's a holy union that only death can separate, and it's God's will. It's God's will. God, on your wedding day, God saw that. God heard those vows, and God joined you together. And what God joins together, let not man put asunder. Out of that oneness, there's a very secure place for children to grow up and flourish as parents are together. When the child asks either parent, he should get a similar answer. I'm not saying the same answer. We're not that perfect. But there should be a similar answer. And a wise parent will say, if he doesn't know, say, well, let me ask dad when he comes home. Or let me discuss that with mom this evening. You're working together. And your children are not able to pit you against each other because you're together. No hint of belittling each other to the children. No hint of belittling the other to the children. I might just make ourselves a little vulnerable here. My wife and I are different. I asked her if we could talk about this, if I could share this here, and she said it's fine. I'm more goal-oriented, and she's more details-oriented. And I can be ready to go somewhere in just a few minutes. You know, we need to go to church. I can get myself together and pack the children up, and we're out in the van in a few minutes. But she's thinking about all of the things we'll need, right? And, you know, we need the water. We need, depending on what we're doing, you know, we need various things. And it's a blessing because, you know, I benefit from her strengths there in that. But what can happen is me and the children can be out in the van, and she's still in there gathering the details together. And it has happened before, and I'll just be honest, it has bugged me sometimes. Our differences has bugged me. You know, what's taking her so long? And I've heard one of our boys say, what's mama doing? You know, right there, it's really, really important how I respond to that. Because depending how I respond, depending what's going on in here, I can say, I don't know what she's doing. You know, it's taking her so long. And that is belittling the other one, belittling my wife to the children. And that tears her down. Or I can say, well, she's probably getting water for us, or she's probably getting this. Or I can say, let's go in and help. Let's go in and help her gather her stuff together. And how we respond to our children and things like that is no small thing. Because it shows them whether we're together, whether our hearts are turned towards each other, or we are tearing the other down to our children. This is no small thing. Turn in your Bibles to Malachi 2. Nothing is new this morning. We've all heard these things, but I trust it can be helpful. Whether or not we're together is a big deal. It's a big deal. Here in Malachi 2, they were very spiritual. They were coming before the Lord. They were offering sacrifices. They were weeping. Tears were flowing. How many prayer meetings are we at where tears are flowing? Covering the altar with your tears. You know, way more spiritual than what we would be as far as appearance. But God didn't hear those prayers. And why didn't God hear those prayers? They weren't together. It's no small thing. Whether or not we're together is no small thing. In Malachi 2, verse 13 says, and this you have done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears and weeping and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with goodwill at your hand. Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet she is thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. So they had separated, it seems like, but God says, you still belong together. And because of that, he wasn't hearing their prayers. And did not he make one? And God is jealous over this thing. Yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. So Satan wants to come in and break up that oneness. We talked about that. You can look around the landscape today. You can visit your neighbors. You can just see the wreckage that comes, the godly seed that's not produced when this thing comes apart. You know, you just go visit your neighbors. And, you know, this stepdad and this stepson, this stepbrother and all the, you know, and you try to put the family together, and it's confusing. It's just confusing. And children are not growing up in that stable, secure place where mom and dad are just solid together. Solid together. And the destruction that's in our landscape because of that today, because of this thing not being honored. But I'll bring it a little more close to home here. Now, so we don't believe in divorce. And I believe all of us in here, it's probably our first marriage, you know, more than likely. Or maybe your wife or your spouse died and you're married to someone else, and that's God blesses that. So we don't believe in divorce. We believe that we should stay together, and we do. We stay, you know, but you know, we can stay together geographically. We can dwell in the same four walls, but not be together at heart. And while it may not have as much destruction on our home as it would have if we would be apart, there's still, I still think it's no small thing if we're not together in heart. Our children will pick it up. Our children will pick it up just like that, and it'll affect them. It'll affect them. And we can be together geographically, but God will still not honor those prayers. Our prayers will be hindered if we are not dwelling together at heart. To raise a godly seed, it takes more than geographical oneness. There's a power there that we can't afford to lose. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter 3, verse 7. 1 Peter 3, verse 7. We'll turn to this to more verses here later on. I want to pick out verse 7 here. It says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Speaking to you of your wife here. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together, that's where our title comes from, of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You know, what a blessing it is for you and your wife, being together in heart, you and your husband, together in heart, seeking God for your family, praying together, and your prayers are getting through. God hears those prayers, and God honors that, and God is working with you and for you. We can't afford to not have our prayers going through. So it implies here that if we're not dwelling with our wife according to knowledge, if we're not giving honor, if this thing is not together, there's a hindrance that comes. Our prayers don't make it through the ceiling. So, husband, be sensitive. You can hinder your prayers if you go roughshod over your wife. If you're at odds with your wife, your prayers won't make it through the ceiling. We can't afford that. Wife, if you are out of your place and at odds with your husband's, lay aside all the spiritual talk. You know, I believe there's a snare here for wives sometimes to think they're more spiritual than their husband, and then they step out of their place and try to manipulate things. But God doesn't bless that. God doesn't bless that. If you're out of your place in odds with your husband, you know, lay aside the spiritual thing and seek to get in your place, and from there pray to God for your family. Our relationship with our spouse directly affects our connection with God. I mentioned there at the beginning that some of you are in hard situations. But there's a promise for you. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7. I think this verse is very, very beautiful. And I think this can be a comfort to those of you who may find yourselves at difficult places in your marriage. In 1 Corinthians 7, verse 13 says, "And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy." So here's a promise here that if there is an unbelieving husband, and he's fine to let his wife live with him, and she's there and she walks with God carefully there in that very, very difficult situation, there's still a blessing of God that can come on her family. Amen. You know, just from one partner walking with God, one partner walking in humility, one partner, you know, there's an influence that comes from his or her life, here it's her, onto her family. That's a preserving note there. And it says, you know, it can help your children to be clean, or to be holy, to be holy. And I've seen that. God bless you for that. So there's a promise here. There's hope for you in those difficult situations. Amen. So be together. That was point number one. Be together. Very, very important. We don't want our prayers to be hindered. Number two here, be understanding. There's an idea out there. We see it, you know, that I don't know what motivates it all, but you know, men work out, men like to be strong, men like to be fit, men like to be, you know, and some of that may be impressive to some women. But what women generally appreciate more than that is what? Understanding. You know, compassion, care, sensitivity, tenderness. Women appreciate that more than, you know, macho and all those things. They appreciate tenderness and understanding more. You probably all heard it, you know, men out there in society, they're talking about their wives and it's not respectful. And they say, you can't understand a woman. Women. You just can't understand them. I don't believe that's true. We are different. We are different. But I believe if we really want to, I believe if we really put effort into it, I believe if we really learn to listen, I believe we can be understanding. I have been frustrated. You know, I believe all of us, maybe we were away, away for the day, and we come back and we see something our wife did, and we think, why in the world? You know, why does she do that? and it just blows your mind. And have you ever been there? I have. And it's like, but it makes absolutely no sense until you hear her out and realize, oh, you know, they're not dumb. You know, they have reasons that they do what they do. They're a human being. And if we can learn to listen, learn to understand, you know, that's the biggest, I believe that's one of the biggest problems in relationships is this very thing right here. Too many people are completely blind and unable to realize how life looks from the other side. And we only see it, we see it right here. We this plus this equals this, and everybody should agree with that, right? But there's a whole. But we're unable to turn around and see life from this perspective. And I believe that right there is one of the biggest reasons of relationship struggles in the marriage and otherwise. Someone was speaking to me recently about this very thing, and just the difficulty in this one particular relationship situation that was happening, and just this the complete inability to step across and really hear and understand how it looks from the other side. The same verse. Are you still there? Actually, you're not still there. Turn back, if you would, to 1 Peter 3, verse 7. I know I'm jumping around a bit, but hope you can be okay with that. First Peter 3, verse 7 says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to what? Knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So this thing, this phrase here, according to knowledge, we don't really speak like that today necessarily. But there are some translations that put the word that translated this, dwell with your wife in an understanding way. And I kind of like that. Dwell with your wife in an understanding way. Are you an understanding husband? Would your wife and others say to you, he's very understanding? I think that should be a compliment. That should be something we would strive for, that we are understanding. Understanding. Okay, does your wife feel safe to share her heart with you? And that you won't criticize that, but you'll be understanding. Listen, care, and sympathize. You know, it's truly amazing what you find is if you try to help maybe some relationship struggles, maybe it's a marriage situation, maybe it's two other people that are at odds with each other, and you dig in there, you try to help people work through their difficulties, it's sometimes absolutely amazing what you find there. Both people are hurting. Both are hurt. And both are craving the same thing oftentimes. I mean, at least sometimes. They're both craving to be understood and loved and accepted. And they're both hurting. And they're both desiring that, but neither one are getting that from the other. It's amazing. They're both simply craving to be understood, loved, and accepted the way I am. Communicate, men. Learn to listen. Our wives need to talk. One thing that I notice is that a lot of us men, we have jobs where we're working with other people, right? And you're there and you're with your coworkers, or you're there with wherever you're at. Now, some of us may not have that. But, you know, oftentimes we come home and our wives want to talk. And just learn to listen. Learn to let them talk. And there's times it can just, at least my wife, she can just go on and on and on and on, you know. But that's okay. We need to learn to just hear them out and let them unload, because they're socially starved, and we may not be that way as much. Be understanding. There was a situation some time back that we were involved with and trying to help, and Brother Leonard just was hearing about it, and he just said, what if they would just accept each other? You know, it was a marriage situation, and what if they would just accept each other? And to me, that almost seemed too simple, because, I mean, there were some real needs. I mean, you could go down, you know, the husband had these struggles here that he was experiencing with his wife, and she had this list here. And Leonard said, what if they would just accept each other? That's very, very simple, but I think there's something to that. You know, if your wife or if your husband can't be loved until he fixes this, this, and this, you know, it's not going to work. You have to be able to accept each other as they are. What a blessing, you know? What a blessing to be loved and accepted in spite of who I am, you know? Doesn't that feel good? You know you have needs, but your wife still loves you. You know you have needs, but your husband still loves you. You know, love covers a multitude of sins. It's not to say we can't work on things, we can't grow, we can't talk about things, but I believe it's important that we're understanding and we love each other in spite of needs they have, because I sure need that. Be careful with trying to change each other. I'm not saying we can't ever talk about some things, but be very, very careful. I believe before we try to change or talk about things, there needs to be a very firm, stable foundation of love and acceptance there before we try to start adjusting the screws on the other one. Your spouse needs to feel loved and cherished as he or she is. You married him or her that way, didn't you? You did. It's because you courted. It's because you courted and you invested in that relationship. You turned your hearts towards each other, and you spent time together, and your hearts connected, and you married him or her that way. And now you go and you turn the screws, and it's not going to come out right if you're not very careful with that. You can love him then. You loved him then, and you can love her now. In spite of that, I'm challenged by the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 13. It says, charity suffereth long and is kind. That goes a long way in marriage, does it not? Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity seeketh not her own. Key in marriage. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Amen? What if you just accept each other? Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Beareth all things. Endureth all things. I just picked some out there. That's what charity does. Not what I can get, but having a heart to serve goes a long way in marriage, and it comes back to bless us big time. Not going after what I can get, but having a heart to serve goes a long way, and it comes back to bless me big time. If you seek to serve and bless the other, instead of being critical, instead of trying to change them, it'll go a long way, it'll come back to bless you. Turn to Colossians 3, verse 19. Colossians 3, verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Well, I'm not bitter. Bitterness sounds really bad, but how does bitterness start? I think it starts with a critical spirit. And one thing that can happen, it's not just for husbands, it can happen with wives as well, but there's bumps. There'll be things to work through in your marriage. Marriage is a very, very close relationship, isn't it? I mean, it's very, very close. I mean, your whole life is together, and if there's flat spots, they'll show up. They will. If there's needs, if there's selfishness, it'll show up. I mean, marriage has a way of bringing it out. You know, my wife and I talked about before we got married, it seemed like we kind of grew so far. We kind of got, God sanctified us so far. And we're not saying we're sanctified today, but as you enter into marriage, it seems like it just, it takes it to a whole new, another level as far as growing in your sanctification and opportunity there. So what can happen, especially for us men here, this scripture here is to us husbands. Love your wives and be not bitter against them. In marriage, there'll be difficulties. There'll be things that don't turn out right. And instead of allowing those things to make me more like Jesus, I can blame my wife. We tend to be proud, and wives can do this too. We tend to be proud and not want to accept responsibility. And we tend to be just like Adam and Eve there and blame and point the finger. If you wouldn't have done this, this wouldn't have happened. And instead of taking responsibility, humbling myself and doing what I can do to help it, I tend to blame my wife. What God wants in this close relationship of marriage is to allow, is for me to humble myself, take whatever responsibility I can take, and allow it to make me more like Jesus. Be not bitter against them. Don't blame her. Humble yourself and become more Christ-like. So one thing that I would recommend for all you couples, and it's something that we try to do, is keep the air clear. Keep the air clear. Don't let things stack up. Talk about things, not in the heat of the moment, but keep the air clear and ask each other periodically, is there something that I do that bothers you? How could I be a better husband or better wife? Ask each other those things. Keep the air clear. And What can I do that makes you feel loved? So that was number three, two, be understanding. Number three here is be in your place. Be in your place. How many of you have played softball or volleyball? Let me see your hands. A lot of us have. And have you probably all seen those games where there's someone who knows they're really good, and they try to help everybody else out, right? And you have this first, you know, you have this first baseman. He's really good at catching, right? And the ball goes, it flies up there to past second base, and second base catcher maybe isn't quite as good as you are, and so you know the outfielder is going to throw it to first base, second base, and so you run up there and you try to catch the ball for him. You know, that's pretty far out, but does that work very well? No, probably you're both going to fumble the ball and it's going to fall, and the play. Or what also might happen is maybe the runner is going to actually be there, and the one that hit the ball is actually slower, and you could have got it out there, but because you were up there, the outfielder throws it, but you're not even there to catch the thing. You know, it just doesn't work. And the same way is true in volleyball. We've all seen those games where there's maybe one or two that are pretty good, and they're all over the place. They're supposed to be up here in the corner in the front row, and they're way back here in the back row trying to help these people out. And then the ball goes across, and it comes back right where they were supposed to be, right? You know, we've seen those games like that. And so to be in your place, be in your place. The game goes best when you realize this is my 6 feet right here that I'm supposed to be in, and I stay right here. I play my and I try my best to get my balls. And you probably see it too when there's this really eager player, and the ball comes across the net, and it's supposed to, the one in the back row should be getting it. He's just all lined up for it, right? And then this other one pokes his finger in the way, and it just hops it right over your hands. And, you know, and it's like stay in your place. And the same is true in marriage. And I guess I was sobered as I read the roles. The Bible's very clear. You know, I've said it before, but this thing of being heirs together, the blessings that go in marriage, the recipe for a blessed marriage is very, very simple. It is. It's not complicated. God hasn't given us a big complicated manual. Now, life can be complicated, and the problems that come up when it's not followed are complicated. And relationships are extremely delicate, extremely complicated, and it can be, you know, sorting through it, how to go forward can be complicated. I don't want to belittle those things. But the recipe and the Word of God for a blessed marriage is very, very simple. Very, very simple. I'd like to read two passages, if you would just allow me to do that. And I would like to let the Word of God speak to us on these things. This is the recipe for a blessed marriage. And it's very clear, but it's also very, very sobering. There's some hard words that are here. There's words that men find hard to do. There's words here that women find hard to do. It almost seems too hard. But let's let the Word of God be the Word of God. Amen? So turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. This is not my saying. This is the Word of God. Be in your place. Ephesians 5 verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. As what? As unto the Lord. That's a hard word. Submit to your husband, wife, that man that you see his needs, that man that is weak, that man who fails, submit to him as if he was God. As unto the Lord. As unto the Lord is how it works. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in what they agree with and everything. It's a hard word. As unto the Lord in everything, wives are called to submit. So that's the role of the wife, to submit to her man, to her husband. Obey. Please him. Honor him. Reverence him. Fear him. Going on now, the husband's side. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So it should be normal for us to lay down our wife for our wife. You know, when she's not feeling well, serve her. Take off work if you need to. Take care of her. Get up in the middle of the night. Don't push it off on her. Jesus wouldn't, would he? He laid down his life for her. Jesus came not to be ministered to. It's not right for us to lay there in our lazy boy and have our wife go do all the things for us. No, it's not right. Jesus served. He came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life. Jesus gave. Jesus served. Jesus laid down his life for the church. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. And when you do this, it'll come back to bless you big time. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. As you serve, as you bless, as you give, it'll come back in big dividends. You're loving yourself because you're one flesh. We're one. 29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife. Men, we have a high standard to reach up to, don't we? We have a high standard. The example of Jesus giving his life. And let the wife see that she reverence her husband. I might shock you wives here just a little bit, but that word reverence there, it appears 93 times in the Greek. And every other place is translated a form of fear. You know, fearing God. Fearing, you know, that's the weight this word reverence has. This honor, this respect that God calls you to have for your husband is the same word that is fear. Reverence your husband. Hold him in high regard. Turn now to 1 Peter. I read one more passage here that speaks on this from the Word of God here. Be in your place. Husband, love your wife. And wife, reverence your husband. First Peter 3, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your husbands. So this is the recipe that God gives for a blessed marriage. Be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, or conduct. While they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear. There's that word fear there. Reverence. Whose adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So what he's saying here, a lot of women, you look out around you, and the tendency is in us as well, we want to look pretty, right? We want to look pretty, and the tendency is to do your hair a certain way, and you know, wear this or wear that. But he says, what really is attractive to God and is attractive to godly man is not that, but it's that inward, quiet, reverent spirit, a meek and quiet spirit. That's what, in God's eyes, is of great price. A pearl that you couldn't afford to buy is that what's within your reach if you learn to walk in this way as Sarah did. So he says, don't focus on that. Don't go after that. Let it not be that, but let it be this inward beauty here that God and godly men truly value. Verse 5, for after this manner, in old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. That's what the old women adorned themselves with. They trusted in God, and they submitted to their husbands. That's what it says. They trusted in God, and they submitted to their husband. And he gives the answer, example of Sarah. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. That's that reverence there. That's that fear. That's that subjection that he's talking about here. Whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Verse 7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So again, there, husbands, be tender. Be compassionate. Don't ask your wife hard things, unreasonable things. Be compassionate. You know, this thing here is giving honor to the weaker vessel is not a belittling thing, but it's actually a sensitive thing, realizing that our wives have limitations. They can't, you know, we have more stamina. We can go farther, go harder, go longer, and to be compassionate, to be sensitive, and to dwell with them in an understanding, compassionate way. So, the recipe. Be in your place. It's very, very simple. Wife, reverence your husband, and husband, love your wife. Give yourself to her. Serve her. Bless her. And it'll come back to bless you. Get help if you can't work it out. It's very, very important, this whole thing, heirs together. It's very, very important. It's such a foundation to so many things. And if you can't work it out, get help from the outside. Open yourself up and humble yourself and ask for help. Okay, number 4. Live joyfully. I was talking to a brother one time, and he was just talking about how sad it is for some couples who just maybe are together but aren't together. And just, you know, what a shame it is. What a shame. In Africa, they say that food's not really good unless you eat it with someone else. Maybe you can have this. Is there a saying for it, Abner? That's kind of the understanding of it, is that, you know, you can have this delicious meal, but if there's no one to share it with, it's just only half as good. And, you know, how many people like going out and eating all by themselves? You know, you take someone with you. You go with your friends, you take to your wife. And it's just, there's joy shared is so much more fulfilling. In Ecclesiastes, it says, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy vanity. God commands us to live joyfully with our wife. You know, it's not a thing that it shouldn't be a thing that we court each other and we get this flame of love burning and it's at its peak we get married and then we just kind of, from there on we just kind of limp along and try to work it out, right? that's pitiful. That's how it is. There are things to work out, but we should live joyfully with the wife we love. Amen? Live joyfully with the wife you love all the days of your vanity. In Proverbs 5, it says, "Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth." And that shouldn't be just with, you know, the wife while you're young, but all the days, so the day you die, you live joyfully with your wife. There's so much to be enjoyed. There's so much to be shared together. There's so much that is benefited both just with the sheer enjoyment of life with a companion, but also with our family. There's so much to be enjoyed. Why be at odds when you can be friends? Why be at odds when you can be friends? Be friends. Live joyfully. Doing things together. Taking time for each other. Going on walks together. You know, whatever it is that you enjoy together. It doesn't have to be expensive. Sweet little times. I like what I think it was Weston Libby in Africa said, we should exercise a low thrill level. I like that. What he means by that is we don't have to go rent a jet ski to have a good time. We can learn to have an enjoyable time together with simple things. With simple things. I like that. Doing things together. Communication. I mentioned that earlier. Taking time to talk together in the evening or whenever it is. Hearing each other's hearts. How was your day? And reflecting on maybe difficulties or things that, you know, how things are going and staying in tune with each other. Little gifts. Again, it doesn't have to be expensive. Just my wife likes to, if she makes cookies, periodically make one that's in the shape of a heart. And there's a cookie for daddy, one with a heart, you know, the shape of a heart. Things like that. Sweet little notes or texts that say, that are just sweet little nothings, but say, "I was thinking about you today." You know, those are special. Court each other. Courtship is what brought your love to its blossom, and it's what will carry you through throughout your married life. I appreciate how Leonard and his wife have an example of continuing to court each other. I admire that, and I would want to be more that way myself. Invest in your relationship. You know, and this might all seem selfish, right? It's just for our fun, our enjoyment. But, brothers and sisters, it's extremely important. It's extremely important. I believe we should not accept the idea that it's just a light thing that is just mushy. Being together at heart, brothers and sisters, is extremely important. Remember, I opened up with talking about the church being the pillar and ground of the truth. And I think right next to the church, right under the church somewhere, is the marriage. And the importance it is that we are together, that we stay together, that we are one together. And so to invest in your relationship is not a light thing. It's a serious thing. We need to invest in it. So foundational. Serve each other. Find out what the other appreciates and do it. I feel loved when, and you fill in the blank with each other. Talk about those things and seek to bless. And it'll give such a security to your children as they see mom and dad having a strong bond together. I want to talk a little bit here at the end on intimacy. Intimacy is, you know, the Bible is not quiet. You know, I think it's amazing. It's beautiful. But the Bible is not quiet on this subject. Intimacy is an important, an honorable thing in marriage that God blesses and sanctions. It's not a necessary evil that's only for procreation. But it's a beautiful bond between husband and wife. And God smiles upon it and blesses it. And Hebrews 13, verse 4 says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So marriage is honorable, and the bed undefiled. There's a blessing that God gives there in the context of marriage, and that marriage bond that is holy, right, and good. In Proverbs 5, 18 through 19, it says, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and the pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. Beautiful. Beautiful thing that God blesses in the context of marriage. I believe we've allowed the devil, we've allowed the world, we've allowed make it a dirty thing that is hush-hush. But in the context of marriage, it's holy, it's right, and it's good. And it's a beautiful bond that God designed to glue us together in a very, very beautiful, intimate way. In 1 Corinthians 7, verses 1 through 5, maybe you could turn there to that one. 1 Corinthians 7. Some people have viewed this as a necessary evil that's only for procreation, and then it's shelved then after that, but I believe you can't support that from Scripture. It's a bond that God designed that is very beautiful. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1 says, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency, or lack of self-control, I think is what that word translates. So here we see that it should be a regular part of married life, this marriage bond here of intimacy. And, you know, amazingly, there's a whole book of the Bible that's devoted to the delight, love, and romance that there ought to be between a husband and wife in a healthy marriage, the Song of Solomon. We have a whole book of the Bible there. And so we see all through the Scriptures, God wills that a husband and a wife live together in a very beautiful, intimate way. And He blesses it. So live joyfully. Live joyfully. Share your joys and delights. Go through life together. And be together in heart in every way. What a privilege to live together. Amen? Amen. Don't lose the wonder of it. I like how Andrew has stressed that we should never come to the place where we take each other for granted, but we always feel that what a privilege I have to be married to her. You know, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. Or what a privilege I have to be married to him. I don't deserve it. Don't lose the wonder of it. So, being heirs together, be together. We want God to hear our prayers. We want there to be a stable, safe place for our families. Be understanding with each other. Learn to be able to step over on the other side and see how it feels to the other. Dwell with your wife according to knowledge. Be in your place. Don't be running all over the court and messing into things that are not your business. You know, just like that player might feel like, I'm really good at this, he might miss the ball if I don't go there. You know, sometimes we can feel that way in marriage too. That, you know, he might drop the ball. You know, I got to go do this, or he might drop the ball. We'll lose the game. No, be in your place. Be in your place. And last of all, live joyfully. Enjoy the food together. It's much better that way. So God bless you.